fans will be appalled. Absolutely appalled. And I wouldn't blame them. What? What are you talking about? It's another indication that sometimes I live in the past and I've been around a long time. Those are the facts. It just makes me a little queasy.
Buccaneers fans, welcome to the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, Sage. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, as you know, your good buddy. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here, and we're all fired up, and the whole thing's presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, the end of the month is here, Ira, and the fantastic offer where you get $500 Ford bonus cash, plus Bill Curry Ford is doubling that cash, so that's $1,500, and GM Sean Sullivan is throwing a $500 gift card on top of that, and he'll give you an Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan discount. That's all just for ordering a new vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. It's so easy. They have a build your vehicle, build your price tool on the website, BillCurryFord.com. And of course, all vehicles there, brand new vehicles come with their nationwide lifetime warranty and used vehicles as well, which is fantastic. So check out their inventory and reach out to Sean Sullivan, mile north of Raymond James Stadium, Bill Curry Ford, or find him online at BillCurryFord.com. And he will help you personally. You cannot beat that. But all this money back, Ira, and it's officially all through the end of this month. So hurry up.
You know, Steve, it's very gratifying to hear what you said about Bill Curry Ford and the incredible deals that Sean Sullivan is offering. These are tough times for everybody. Inflation, brutal. And then you hear Steve Isbitz talk about the deals at Bill Curry Ford. This guy's going above and beyond. He's not going to be satisfied till he gets you in a deal that you're going to be happy with. Lee, you go to Bill Curry Ford, and you are going to be satisfied that it was one heck of a pleasant experience.
Oh, very much so. That's why I went there in the first place, and that's why I keep going back to have my truck worked on. It is a pleasant experience when you go there.
And, of course, the podcast is also presented by Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage needs a beer. He's got a lot of weddings coming up. He's going to the beach. Big Storm is Florida's best craft beer. Just don't drink Big Storm beer and drive over there. Enjoy the fantastic food at the Big Storm Tap Rooms in Orlando at the Amway Center, open 7 days a week in Cape Coral. And, of course, the flagship location in Clearwater on 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road, where we're going to be doing some fun stuff, Ira, this football season, and at the Pasco County location off State Road 54 on Success Drive in Odessa officially. It is fantastic food at Big Storm, live music, bigstormbrewery.com. That'll help you see all the beers and find out where to buy them. The Bromosa, their Tangerine IPA, Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Palm Bender IPA. So many great ones. Bigstormbrewery.com. Ira, how are you today on this beautiful, beautiful day?
I'm ready to talk football, Elizabeth. I'm ready to talk football.
Now, anybody who missed the last podcast, shame on you. Shame on you. I was telling you prior, Ira, that the podcast has seen a bump. We've been gotten quite a bump in the last 6 weeks or so, which I'm very impressed with. I'm not sure why. Maybe the young people are coming around to your brand of ancient wisdom, Ira. I'm not sure. You know, thank you. Thank you to all the listeners. And the podcast is available at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and right at JoeBucksFan.com. And Lee and Ira were live at One Buck Palace talking about their impressions of the day. Ira, one thing that I wanted to bring up that didn't come out of your impressions with Lee when you were chatting, Cameron Brate talked about how Bowles has been harping, that was his word, harping on little details that, quote, we kind of let slip away last year. He said they added up in crucial moments and you know, we're back to fundamentals. It's rare, Ira, I think, that you hear the Tom Brady team letting little details slip away. That doesn't fit the story that we're always told, and that's a little bit surprising. Now, we saw, of course, some of this on defense with the sloppy tackling that Lee's talked a lot about and other things we've seen, but Cam Brate, I'm sure, is talking about the offense when he brings that up. So what do you guys think of that?
My first impression when Brate talked about the details flipping a bit, Lee, I had to think he was talking primarily about the Rams game. I don't know. That's just the impression I got. Lee, they won 13 freaking games with their share of injuries, their fair share. They won 13 games. They romped to the division title, had it wrapped up by Thanksgiving, realistically. Beat a decent Philly team in the first round with no problem. And then, Lee, the wheels came off against the Rams. And I don't, you know, Buck fans, should have won the Rams game. No, you shouldn't have. No, you shouldn't have. The Rams were begging to be beat that day after a 27-3 lead. The Rams tried to give the game away. The Bucs didn't take it. The Bucs were thoroughly outclassed, and they weren't very good on the details in that game, Lee. They weren't on point. Tackling, as you mentioned, Lee, terrible. Offense, really bad until they're down 27-3. And who wants to be in a hole like that? I can't imagine Brake was talking about this being a season-long problem, that, you know, they were a little sketchy on the details. I don't know. I just thought he was talking mostly about the Rams game.
He might have been, but there were too many games last year where the Bucs just weren't sharp, whether it be the Jets game, whether it be both games against the slimy Saints, Washington. There was too many games, especially against lesser opponents, where you thought should have been a slam dunk win, where they struggled like crazy or they actually lost. So I'm like you on face value. I think it was he was referencing the Rams game, but there were just too many examples that you could point to where they just didn't look like they were dialed in.
Ira, I want to say when I heard that, I thought of the Saints game initially, getting shut out at home in December football with everything on the line, and you're 10-3 going into that game, and you get shut out, and this is your offense. So that I my first thought went there, and my second thought goes back to the most painful game that I watch when I rewatch the season, Ira, which is my my habit. The Jets game, it was a miracle that they pulled that thing out, a minor miracle anyway. You down two touchdowns to the Jets in on the road like they were, and you're pulling out miracles and stuff at the end. That's kind of going off the rails when you have a championship caliber team, when you're the defending Super Bowl champs. And of course, we saw what happened with the Rams, but you think that's a feeling across the team, Ira, that yeah, we just let too many details slip away? Or is that, you think, Cameron Brate being very dialed into what Bowles is telling everybody?
Well, it might be an indication of what Bowles thinks about the 2021 Bucks, and he's going to put his stamp on this team, Lee. He's going to be all over these guys, just like Brady is. And, you know, say what you want about Arians, Lee, he's got a lot of strengths. He's got a lot of positives. He's great with the players. He knows his football, Lee. But, you know, nobody ever said he's all over the details, Lee. Nobody ever said that he's all over the details. Lee, speaking of the Saints 9-0 game, that travesty, I was talking to Clark Judge today. I do a Hall of Fame podcast with Clark Judge. And Lee, he said something very interesting. I never thought of it like this. Lee, he was talking about the 9-0 Saints game, and he said it just like a statement of fact almost. He said, Ira, that game caught Tom Brady the MVP award. Now, that's very interesting, Lee. You think there might be a little truth in that?
Yes, because the people that did not vote for Brady for MVP, many of them pointed to that game, conveniently forgetting that Aaron Rodgers had an equally bad game, if not worse, against Jameis and the slimy Saints to open the season at Jacksonville. So I absolutely believe that. By the way, as far as Arians, he may not have a reputation for being attention to detail. I think that's more his image than anything else. I've seen enough practices where guys do one little thing wrong, he's all over their case. Even Cam Brate said that earlier this week. Brate said that Bowles is not as quick to cuss people out as Arians is. So I don't know if I can agree fully that Arians is an attention to detail guy. But his image comes across that he's not. His image comes across as win or lose, we booze. That's his image.
Steve, in terms of being on the details with Todd Bowles, it brings me back to what he said, Steve, at one buck on the day that he was introduced, when he told me that he knows everything that's going on the practice field. And I think he meant both practice fields at one buck during training camp. He's aware of his surroundings. He's honed in, Steve, as you have characterized me at an NFL owners meeting, like a mollusk you know, getting in somebody's grill. Todd Bowles swears, and I have no reason not to believe him. Guys, you know, he's got that antenna up. He knows where everybody's supposed to be. He knows where the media freaking stands during training camp. Even
Ira, this comes to mind, the memory of you at the owners' meetings when Robert Saleh of the Jets is eating breakfast by himself after the media mob. And he's sitting there dining by himself outdoors at a swanky resort, an umbrella at the table, white tablecloth. The guy's got two plates of food. No one's with him. And Ira goes up to the guy and says, Bobby, can we sit down?
Lee, that's the way I am. By the way, may I interject at this moment? And Lee, this is for you, Lee. This is for you.
Oh, wait, Ira, let me throw this. Let me finish it out for the folks listening.
All right.
Bobby, as you called him, you know, obviously his name's Robert, and you don't know him at all. But Bobby was kind enough to say, yeah, sure. And so we got to watch Robert Saleh eat his breakfast, and he was very open to chat. So go ahead, Ira.
And he didn't offer me any bacon either. But this one's for Lee DeKemper. Lee, you are absolutely on top of things when I make these references to something from the 60s, God forbid the 50s. Lee, I tweeted out something yesterday, and it was about a song from 1964. I'm not making this up. And I put it out there. I know most 90% of the audience says, what? What are you talking about? Well, anyway, Lee, it was a song by a group called The Animals, which was a British group. And it was the anniversary of the recording of House of the Rising Sun. Now, why do I say that? That was 1964, long time ago. It's another indication that sometimes I live in the past and I've been around a long time. And that's a long way for me to say this, DeKemper. I've covered a lot of training camps, a lot of them. Lehman Bennett, Ray Perkins, you name it. Bill Parcells, Richard Williamson. And the idea that we're kind of waiting on one guy more than the other, waiting on Gronkowski more than Sue. But Lee, here we are, and Lee, we're not quite sure what the status of these two guys. I mean, this is not normal for an NFL team in 2022. You know, other teams know, you know, who the hell's going to be on the roster for the most part. It just makes me a little queasy. Until I hear from Gronk that he's back, there's a chance that he's not.
Do not be surprised if we hear or see something of Rob Gronkowski. Why do I say that? Well, he's in town. So who knows? Maybe he's going to be working out with Brady, catching passes from him in some minuscule park that they'll get thrown out of. Maybe he might show up at $1. Maybe he'll sign a contract. I don't know what's going on, except for the fact Gronk is in town.
I like it, Steve. He might be grabbing a steak at or a lobster at Ocean Prime, but I'm just glad he's here. I thought all your Instagram accounts are wired with Kay Adams. You got beyond Kay Adams? Unbelievable.
I only have one Instagram account. And yes, Kay Adams is being followed by me. I know that sounds scary, but that's the vernacular of social media.
All right, Ira. Now, we got a few things to hit on, stuff that you wanted to talk about. I'll heed your wishes because I know you wanted to talk about the couple of predictions that are out there. So ESPN has its famous power rankings computer. They actually call it ESPN Football Power Index. And their formulas and all this stuff spit out that they believe the Bucs will be the ninth best team in the NFL this season with 9.4 wins. And the Bucs have a 59% chance of making the playoffs and a 5% shot at the Super Bowl to win it. And so that's what they spit out versus Cynthia Freeland over at NFL.com used her computer modeling and did her stuff. And she comes up with the Bucs as the best team in the National Football League, and they will win 11.7 games. Your thoughts?
Well, in that matchup, I'll go with Freeland over the computer in for a lot of reasons. At least some of them are obvious.
Well, but, she's using the computer too. It's not her.
I'll go with Freeland's computer. Now, Lee, I'm not going to say the Bucs are the best team in football. I can't go there. I think the Rams are better. And they've proven it. They have the Bucs number.
Wait a minute. Why are they better? Why are they better?
They've beaten them, I believe, for the last three times, Steve. Am I wrong? Three times? And they should have won in a rout. Should have. You saw the game, Steve. Don't defend Don't defend the extent of that beatdown. It was a beatdown. I don't care what the final score was. Now, let me get to this 9.4. Now, Leo, I'm the first guy to say the schedule's tougher. Yeah, it's tougher. Of course, from year to year, Lee, you don't know what the hell's going on. Nobody thought the Bengals were going to be in the Super Bowl. Maybe people thought they were an 8-9 team, the Bengals. They end up in the Super Bowl. So if you had Cincinnati on your schedule last year, you were in a little bit of trouble. But, Lee, I can't go with 9.4 wins. And Lee, I'll turn it over to you with this note. Lee, if Brady's healthy and the Bucs go 9-8, Buck fans will be appalled. Absolutely appalled. And I wouldn't blame them.
Maybe it's me. There's a whole lot of questions with this team that are unanswered right now. And it's not just Gronk, and it's not just Sue. With that schedule, I think that's it's a tough schedule. Yeah, I know rosters change each year. I get it. But you got to believe that all these tough teams the Bucs are playing, they still have their core team available. That core team is damn good for most of these squads. I got to figure that's 1 to 2 less wins right there. All these question marks are at least one less win right there. The handoff from Arians to Bowles, I can't sit here and argue that's going to be even. That it's like it's going to be smooth as silk. Nobody's going to know the difference. On face value, I have an issue with that. So I don't know if that's going to be an extra loss there or not. I'm uncomfortable with that. The locomotive's changing tracks. There's no question about it. And what those tracks are, I don't know yet. That's why, you can't predict the future. You just guess. And if you put a gun to my head right now and you said 11 wins, I would lay money on the under.
11 sounds about right to me, Lee. I'll tell you why, Steve.
Well, I've seen the under, and I'm thinking 10. So when 10? ESPN, I mean, if you put a gun to my head, I might change my mind. I might say 11 in a couple weeks, in a couple months when training camp gets going, whatever. The Godwin thing has me scared as hell. I thought last year the Bucs had the deepest wide receiver core in the game. That turned out to be BS, as we all saw. They weren't deep at all. They were pulling Rashard Perriman off the street. Come on. Guy couldn't make the Bears and the Lions? Really? I'm glad he works out for the Bucs. I'm glad he works out for Arians' offense. Seems like a great fit for him. But, let's not confuse him with Michael Irvin here. If you put a gun to my head right now, I'm leaning 10 wins. And so when BSPN comes out and says 9, I don't think that's far off. I know Brady, when's the last time he hasn't had 10 wins? When's the last time he was on a team that had this many question marks? When's the last time he's been on a team that flipped coaches in March?
Steve, I had the Bucs at 14-3 last year, and so if right now my early pick is 11, Steve, I'm knocking them down by 3 wins. It's not like I'm oblivious to any issues or the schedule. I'm not picking 14-3, but I'm not going 9-8. I just think with a healthy Brady, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, it's a great debate. I'm so glad we're having this here. Love this kind of stuff. It makes football so much fun. The Bucs, with all their injuries at receiver, I mean, whatever you think of the depth and the players individually, they led the NFL in passes, passing yards, and touchdowns. So whatever it was, whatever you think of them, the production was there. 100%. You can't get any better. They led in those three categories. So I think this year, the receiving core will be better. I'm gonna take that leap. I think they may be healthier and come back a little bit stronger. Maybe if Scotty Miller can do what he did in 2020 in a contract year, no Antonio Brown, but I do like Gage. I think Mike Evans might have a little better year in different ways. I think that's at least possible. We'll see if Godwin comes back, but I kind of like the receiving core. Now, Gronk is a huge X factor. If he doesn't come back, that's a massive problem and a massive question mark. And it's almost irresponsible for us to be sitting around talking about wins without Gronk, because that would make a huge difference in my book, Gronk-wise. But even on defense, I got to think the defense is going to be better just based on health. I mean, I hope so. I mean, if all those cornerbacks stay healthy reasonably and they've got Logan Ryan as real depth now at cornerback versus other guys that we were relying on, pulling Richard Sherman out of mothballs, and he was awful, and Ross Cockrell wasn't the guy he was in 2020, and we've got you know, maybe a good guy in Logan Ryan, and you know, we'll see with some of the other players. But I think they may be better on defense. But I do agree with Bowles is a step down from Arians until he proves it. So if I had to put it now, I would say without Gronk, I would put him at 10 wins. With Gronk, I would say 12 for sure. Ira, $500 is on the table right now for all of our listeners from Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have a disaster in your home, mold, fire damage, storm damage, a flood, whatever it is, you need to call Florida's Elite Restoration first so they can assess what's happening absolutely free and then guide you from there. Maybe you need to use your insurance company. Maybe you don't. They are experts in that field. But Sage, if you mention JoeBucksFan.com or Ira Kaufman when you call them, if you use their service, if eventually you need it, after you get your free assessment, they're going to give you $500 off. And that means you can knock that off your deductible, or when the job is done, you'll get $500 cash back. Whatever it is, that's how it's going to work. It's a great offer. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. They are a great company serving the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond. And just call them up 24/7. They're going to respond quickly, and you need someone in your time of need when that disaster strikes. Now you know who to call. Florida's Elite Restoration, Josh Martin. That is your guy. He's the owner. 14 years experienced in the insurance industry as an adjuster, and his team is on it. Ira, that's it. I'm not even going to let you say a word. That's the last word. $500 off from Florida's Elite Restoration.
Steve, I'd like to bring up a topic that's very close to your heart, Stevie, and and even though I talked about it with Lee a little, you are the key factor in this, Steve, and you don't like to give me any credit, Isbits, but I believe something's due here, because at $1 on Tuesday, Lee and I sitting in the third row, Vita Vea at the podium, and all I'm thinking about is WWID. What would Isbits do? What would Isbits do? And as a result of that question, Steve, I asked Vita Vea directly whether he's had any conversations with Buck coaches about trying to get some more playing time. And I think he was a little surprised by the question. He turned to me and said, kind of like, you know my snap count? You think you know my snap? I said, I think it's about 45%. Now, Steve, I may not have gotten that exactly right, but I think I'm in the ballpark. And, Steve, his answer was, with the 17th game, you know, they want to do the rotation and have people strong. Steve, I'm not like you. Lee, if Isbits was sitting there and he got that answer from Vita Vea, Steve would have immediately followed up. Hey, Vea, your snap count didn't go up in the biggest games of the year. What are you talking about? Steve, give me your take, because this has been a thorn in your side.
Real quick, can I interject? As you would say, Ira, Vita Vea, when he asked, okay, how many snaps would I have, Isbits would have rattled off every freaking game.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute.
When he goes to bed at night, you know, like little kids have a prayer when they go to bed at night. When Isbits goes to bed at night, he recites Vita Vea's snap counts.
Ira, I watched it live. I was typing. I didn't write that up yet because I can't stomach the answer, so I haven't had the intestinal fortitude to actually write that up yet at Joe Bucks Fan, but I'll talk about it. I did give you a standing ovation when you asked that question. And what did we get? We got more misdirection and lies and nonsense. Vita Vea knows exactly how much he's going to play. The man is a competitor. He's a professional. He's a good teammate. He knows how much he's out there. I'm sure he wants to play more. He knows the deal. And so when he asked you, oh, you got my snap count? How much did I play? And then he's talking about staying fresh for the end of the season. It's all a bunch of nonsense, Ira. We don't know the truth. Maybe we can't handle the truth. You know, the coach, Casey Rogers, you know, basically told us, oh, Vita's got to get in better shape. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it was
he was all over the map.
Yeah.
Casey Rogers.
He was everywhere. Maybe it was his knee. Maybe it wasn't. As Lee has noted, Vea came back from a broken ankle. I think it was 12 weeks off. And he jumps right in against Green Bay, and he plays as much in 2020, totally off the map, as he did in the playoffs this year. We're never going to know the truth, Ira, but we do know that the mystery is confirmed. Nobody's going to give a straight answer. We're just going to have to see it on the field. I think this is a way the Bucs can get better, and I'm hoping that can step it up.
Do you think Bay's snap count would go up automatically if Ndamukong does not come back? Would that be a factor?
No, I think it'll come up if Vea says, I want to play more, and I demand to play more, and maybe if he gets a little bold about it. And I think it would come up, frankly, if they saw, as I hate to say it, but I think if they saw him report back to training camp 12 pounds lighter, you know, they might be willing to give him more snaps.
And Lee, you always bring up the point, Lee, and I don't think it's off base in trying to figure out this mystery. There is the knee. I don't know if it's a knee problem, knee injury, but Lee, we can't just lightly, cavalierly dismiss that as a possible factor.
We'll wrap this up because we've been talking about this, and you know, I'm sure the mystery will get more interesting later on. But and as Lee said, I roll around in bed at night just freaking out about this. All I know is if the Bucks have told us that he's kind of out of shape, and essentially that's what they told us, then why did he play 95 special team snaps last year? Isn't that a good time to rest him? Don't we just have a big body we can stick out there and play special teams? The whole thing is weird, and it upsets me, Ira. I'm moving on. It's just very upsetting to me. So I'll go to another upsetting subject, which Ali Marpet did an interview with The Guardian and flat out said that a big reason he quit was physical reasons and his increased size for football since he was drafted. And maybe before that, we don't know exactly. But bottom line is he developed sleep apnea and hypertension, and those are serious, especially when they're combined and one can cause the other. Marpet is one of these guys. He's a lot like Luke Getteke in the sense that if you sit with Marpet and hear his story, he'll tell you that when he decided he was going to go to make a push to be a professional player, he started just gaining weight, massive amounts of weight in college, you know, just eating nonstop. I've heard him tell that story. And Getteke tells the same story. And this is a reason why these guys went to lower divisions, because they just didn't have the size. And so, you know, I guess maybe he was more prone to some of these conditions, Marpet I'm speaking about, because his frame just wasn't naturally that big as a Donovan Smith. So anyway, that was kind of sad and kind of sobering, but I'm really glad that he's out, and it's probably a big reason why he's dropped what looks like maybe 40 pounds already.
Having said all that, Lee, it's still highly unusual for the National Football League to have a guy who I think unequivocally is in his prime, a Pro Bowler, one of the top 10 left guards in the National Football League, call it quits at the age of 28. It's still unusual. And I think it's a peek behind the curtain, Lee, that we think we know what football players go through. Maybe Marpet's a little more unusual case because he had to change his frame. But, Lee, I think a lot of players, if you really look at their day-to-day lives, and I'm not talking about when they're 45 years old and removed from the game from 10 years and they can't get out of bed. I'm talking about, Lee, their playing days. I don't think we have any idea the grind of the National Football League. I salute Marpet. He was different as a player when we talked to him in the locker room. And I got nothing but respect for Marpet. Lee, I think a lot of other players are kind of envious, but they could do what Marpet did. They got the money to do it, Lee, but they can't give up the grind, and Marpet walked away. Bravo for him.
Yeah, Marpet is a little bit different because he has had a different perspective on life. A lot of these guys, their whole life is football. And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's good. I mean, just about my entire life is football, and I don't play it. I don't coach it. But Marpet was a little bit different in that way. You know, his life was not consumed by football, where a lot of these guys, it really is. You know, we heard the story that Marpet, he's an economics major, and Marpet had told his agent when right before the draft, he's like, I want to get it set up where if I make X amount of money, I want to give it up. I don't want to have CTE. I don't want to be a walking zombie when I'm 40. And Steve specifically heard some things through the grapevine at the combine. One was that Marpet was pretty freaked out about missing three games with a concussion during the Super Bowl season. Right. And after he won the Super Bowl, he seriously considered retiring at that time. But everybody and their brother was coming back, and you know, obviously Brady was there, and you know, he kind of wanted to be part of history if they could to win a second title in a row. I think he's made $27 million. and he's not an extravagant guy. You know, we know what he drives. Let's put it that way. We know what he drives, and he's not a big spender. You don't see him out blowing money all over the place. Some of these guys, you know, first thing they do, they buy a house for their mom, and then they buy, you know, four different rigs. And whereas Marpet was not that way. He seemed pretty savvy about his finances, or at least he wasn't flashy. Let's put it that way. Good for him.
Hey, Steve, when I go over the $17 million mark from Joe Buckstan, I'm hanging it up.
All right, you can't hang it up, Ira. Just I looked it up real quick. Marpetin's made $37 million. And it cracks me up when Marpet said, well, you know, I financially wanted to figure out when I had enough money to retire. Dude, the minute you made it $5 million, you were probably set and live a nice life if you wanted to chill out like that. So, but anyway, all right, Ira, look, I wrote about this and I know you were intrigued and I know it's going to annoy a lot of fans, but it goes back to my feeling that Bruce Arians is somebody who will be missed, and he's valuable. The guy has value. He's proven it. And he said many times, whatever Todd Bowles wants, I'll do it. I don't know what my advisor role is going to be, but if Todd needs me, whatever he wants me to do, I'll do it. I want to be there for him. Arians used to talk over and over again about how valuable OTAs are. I get these guys on two fields. We do it differently, and they're going to get four. He used to say, when they missed OTAs because of COVID, oh, these guys lost 420-something snaps each, and he had all the numbers. And so, you know, media is not allowed at all the OTAs. I love when other media talks about, oh, how somebody's looking at OTAs, and based on OTAs, it's like, no, we can only watch 30% of them. So you don't know who's crapping the bed on the other 7 days. So you can't
when
make
you can see. I gotta say that, yeah. When you can see. Yeah. Because they put the wall of players in front of you, it's difficult to see who freaking has the ball or not.
Yeah, Lee's right. So even if you could see everything, you'd only be seeing 30%, and that's not enough. But anyway, bottom line is Arians is not seen in any of the pictorial essays, the all the stuff they do at Buccaneers.com, the photo galleries. He's not there for rookie camp or the OTAs. He wasn't seen in those pictures in the conditioning phases. So, and I know, Ira, you've been in touch with him. He's not around yet. And I just think it's a loss to not have him studying there, sitting in a golf cart, watching every Kyle Trask throw in person. I mean, quarterback is the most important position on any football team, and the Bucs have to be considering their quarterback future. I wish the guy was out there.
I read Steve's write-up, which I think his points were right on. It's very unclear at this point what Arians' role is going to be and if he's going to have a significant role at all for the 2022 Bucks. If I had to bet on it, Lee, I don't think we're going to see him a lot in the times that we get allotted to watch this team. That includes training camp. I mean, Lee, they got Tom Moore wandering around, you know, offering advice if Bowles wants it. And now you got another guy basically playing a senior advisor role. It's a very tough situation for Arians. First of all, he doesn't want to be seen hanging around Bowles, you know, looking over his shoulder.
That's fair.
But Lee, bottom line, you know, again, you got to trust your instincts. I don't think Bruce Arians is going to be very involved, Lee. I just don't.
Steve wrote something right around the time that Arians retired. Stepped aside, whatever you want to call it. Arians should have one task in his new role. And that one main task is he is Kyle Trask's babysitter. That every day he works with Trask. He's got to take him out on the side, take him out on a side field, take him to some city park in Bradenton, whatever. Arians' lone job is to tutor Kyle Trask.
I don't get it, Ira. There could be a lot of things behind the scenes. Maybe Bowles wants Arians away for a while to establish his way, to not be a distraction in some sort of weird way. But it just seems very strange. Maybe it's Todd Bowles' decision. Maybe he said, Bruce, just stay away. We'll figure out something by training camp. I don't know. I don't like it, though, because I think he's an asset, and you got to use your assets. You got to be on all those details, like Cam Brait said.
I'm with you, Steve. I think it's an awkward spot for Bruce Arians. And Bruce Arians is not used to feeling awkward, but it's an awkward situation.
Sage, I'm not sure the Rams are better without Von Miller, but I got to give that to you. And they don't have They got that boost from OBJ last year. They don't have him. They've got some other issues and some depth issues.
Allen Robinson's going to be dynamite. He was.
That guy's a good player, Lee. That guy's a good player.
That guy's a good player. I remember when he was coming out of Penn State, I was hoping the Bucks would pick him up. He languished in Jacksonville all those years. Then he goes to the Bears, languished up there. And by the way, the Bears have become a total freaking joke. Even people that grew up Bears fans in Chicago are disowning them. It's a mess. So Robinson has played with some really lousy quarterbacks. Now he's playing with a good quarterback finally.
And Steve, speaking of jokes, and tell me if this is pushing it, Steve.
Well, let me throw this out there. The only reason we know that Robinson is good is because he didn't languish. I mean, the guy's had some great seasons. He's an excellent player. But
if you had Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky thrown to you, that's languishing.
And Steve, he doesn't have to be the number one on the Rams because they got Cooper Kupp. So that's a good spot for Robinson. Now, Steve, if you would let me finish my
Mitch Trubisky and Blake Bortles.
Steve, may I finish, Steven? May I? The team, and there's a lot of joke teams out there. I mean, you know, the Lions and the Bears, of course. Jacksonville, until they prove differently.
Yeah.
But Lee, I'll tell you the team that's getting no love right now. There's even some stories about tanking. The Falcons, they ain't got much.
No, they don't.
All right, Ira, look, you know, this is what drives me bananas. I let you finish. And I'm just so sick of everybody just assuming that other teams are better than the Bucks. Now, the Rams, I pulled up the schedule here. Rams open against the Bills. That's a tough game when you're trying to break in some new components to your team. And then they've got the Falcons. Okay. Cupcake situation. And then they head on the road at Arizona, fierce division rival, and they go back to San Francisco, another fierce division rival with a good team. Back-to-back road games. Are they going to start 2-2, Ira?
Look, the Rams are good, and I think Cam Akers will bounce back. I don't think he was ready to play. They probably shouldn't have played him. In that Buck game, he was terrible, awful. You know, the previous year, Akers looked like a hell of a running back until he got hurt. That could be a boost for the Rams right there.
Higby didn't play against the Bucks in the playoffs. You would hope he's healthy. Hey, the Rams are 0-3, or the Bucks are 0-3 against the Rams. As the immortal Ric Flair once said, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Well,
we will see, Steve. We will see.
They'll get their shot. The Bucks will get their shot. That's November 6th on the schedule. I just think it's going to be interesting because the Rams have a tough schedule. And they've got, if they go 4-2 by their bye week, I think they'll be happy. Then they come out of that playing San Francisco and then the Bucks. So, I mean, you know, the Bucks could have a good shot on them and get a nice edge, you know, maybe a game and the tiebreaker if they can beat the Rams. If the Bucks can't beat the Rams, then like Lee said, they're not the man.
By the way, Steve, let me throw this about the Bucks schedule. You know, look, Lee, we got a long way to go till opening week, but, you know, they're playing the Cowboys. I don't think Dallas is all that.
No.
I really don't. Their O-line's not nearly as good as it used to be. 3-4 years ago, Elliott's not as good as he used to be. They don't have Amari Cooper. Now, look, they played the Bucks very tough last year in the opener. Steve, I think the Bucks should win that game.
The Bucks absolutely should win that game. Absolutely, Ira. I'm very bullish here. Look, Amari Cooper just tore the Bucks apart in that game. Now he's not there, and the guy's name escaped me. Gallup's injured as well. He won't be there either. So, I mean, they're down their top two.
Look, Dallas might be the best in the NFC East. They might be. Lee, a lot of people jump on the Eagles, Lee. A lot of people like the Eagles.
I mean, if Hurts plays well, they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah.
Sorry for that background noise, guys. I think I'm going to leave it in the podcast. If I told you what happened, you wouldn't even believe me. So we'll just leave it at that. All right, Sage, look, as we push toward the finish line here on this podcast, we got to remind everybody, A, of that fantastic offer we heard from Florida's Elite Restoration. That is your first phone call, floridaselite restoration.com. Anytime you have a disaster in your home, fire, flood, mold, whatever it is, you call them first. And remember, mention Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman Podcast. If you use their services, you'll get $500 off. Maybe that's a credit, or maybe that's just cash straight off. It can help you with your deductible if it's an insurance claim. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And of course, Sean Sullivan is waiting for your call. That $2,000 off. The offer itself is spelled out at BillCurryFord.com and at JoeBucksFan.com. You can find it. Sean's got a brand new best-in-class podcast grading some of the drafts a little bit deeper that the teams around the league looked at, and he's got some other stuff to talk about. That's the Best in Class podcast. And Big Storm Beer, do not forget them. The weekend's coming. You need a Big Storm Beer. BigStormBrewery.com. Ira, that's what you should pick up, some Big Storm Beer, and take it to that wedding that you're going to.
Well, if they want to open up a little office in New York or Raleigh, North Carolina, Lee, I've said it before, they will dominate, if they haven't already, the craft beer industry in the state of Florida. And it's not going to take very long either.
They're already in Jersey, Ira.
Yeah, Ira, when you say those things, I think it should be you on Fox Business instead of Tom Brady. You know, just Ira with his predictions. All right, Sage, look, let me throw this out, and then we'll get out of here, because I have to show some appreciation, right? Got to show some love. Chris Sims was talking about Joe Bucks Fan on his podcast the other day for NBC.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I wrote it up, and he was saying, I love that Joe Bucks Fan. He was saying a shout outs to us and all that stuff. Anyway, this all sort of stemmed from a sarcastic tweet that I put out there about Blaine Gabbert not being on Sims' top 40 quarterback list, because this is the time of year when Sims puts that out.
All right.
And so Sims appreciated that, and they brought it up on the podcast. And he's talked about, you know, Gabbert, I get what they were saying at the combine. He was talking about, he said, you know, the Bucs put a lot of mixed messages out there, and we've all seen the talent that Blaine Gabbert was, and yeah, first round pick and all that. We've watched him play, but he hasn't done anything in a long time, and he didn't do much when he did do anything. So Sims ranked him on the podcast, even though it's a top 40 countdown. He put him in his final 48. So essentially, he's saying that Gabbert is an average NFL backup, and I looked at that through the prism of, well, Chris Sims puts this guy at 48, which puts him as the 16th best backup in the NFL. Certainly Kyle Trask can push the guy, we hope.
Steve, it's still remarkable. And you heard Lee and I talk about it a little bit the other day. Steve, you didn't give your opinion on it. It seems Bowles had to do a little cleanup on Clyde Christensen when he spoke rather shockingly that Trask really is not going to be able to be in position to compete for the backup job. What'd you think of Bowles rushing to the rescue and saying, whoa, open competition? Steve, I think it's something he had to say, but I think the fact that Christensen said it first, I think Christensen spoke for what's going on in the back rooms of the organization, and Bowles has to put a public face on it.
Well, you guys did a great job talking about that on the last podcast, which can be found at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, all the platforms, at Joe Bucks Fan. I don't really have a take on it, Ira. We all saw it for what it is. Christensen said one thing with a lot of passion and earnestness. I don't know if that's a word, but he put it out there very clear-headed. He's the guy's coach. And yeah, of course, Todd Bowles got the mop out and did a little cleanup job there.
The only question remaining, Lee, is did Chris Sims mention my name when he talked about Joe Bucks Fan? Did he, Steve? Did he?
He did not, Ira. He did not. But do you think that's fair, Ira? You think, Lee, you think Gabbert's a top 16 backup, or we just don't know because he hasn't played, and based on what you saw in preseason, you weren't sold?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, you hear Arians and Leftwich and Bowles, you know, like, go on, especially Light and Arians at the combine, went on and on and on about Gabbert. He thought they were talking about Steve Young. You know, the only reason Steve Young wasn't starting is because the King was still on the throne, Joe Montana. And once the King fell off his throne, then Steve Young stepped up. And I don't know. I'm not ready to go with Blaine Gabbert, Steve Young yet. But what I thought was all interesting about this is, and this is the back channel conference room stuff that fans may not be catching on with, that I always like, and I always think it's pretty cool. Basically, Christensen didn't clear his words with the right people at One Buck. And that may not have been Todd Bowles. That may have been the media relations office. And I'm going to add to that by saying, I don't know if people saw the interview when Cam Brait was at the podium. It sure looked like Cam Brait really wanted to talk about Gronk in a few episodes at his wedding. And he kept looking over at the Bucks media relation who was standing up against the wall, you know, just double checking to make sure they're there or not. You know, it's like he wanted to say something, but he also didn't want to get in trouble. He didn't want to lose his recess. So he kept looking over at the media relations people, knowing he would get in trouble if he spoke untoward. And if you read the St. Louis Post-Dispatch eye-opening explanation about how Kroenke pulled out of St. Louis, and that was planned for years with Goodell and the Rooneys on board, you will see why NFL is so big on hiring not just PR people on staff for teams, but for the NFL as a whole. It's unbelievable. Every little bitty thing has to be cleared to make sure it looks proper from the media relations department.
They got a cast of thousands over there. Stevie, as far as Gabbert's concerned, I got him at number 52. 52, baby. 52.
All right, Ira. Look, you cornered Ryan Succop at practice. You got him one-on-one. We need to know everything. I'm clearing the floor, and then we'll get out of here. We need to know everything that he told you about this kicking competition, or maybe there is no kicking competition.
It's obvious from talking to Succop, and, you know, he's been around. He's not naive. He knows he's in for a hell of a fight. He's not naive. He knows all about this kid out of UM. The kid's got a bigger leg than Succop. Succop knows that. Jason Light knows that. Todd Bowles knows that. Keith Armstrong knows it. Succop doesn't have the range. He doesn't. But Lee, he's been reliable. Now, I think this is the main point, Lee. He started off and he was having a lousy training camp last year. Lousy. But Lee, they were coming off a Super Bowl championship in which he had a very good season, and they weren't going to make any changes, certainly as a defending champion. Lee, those rules no longer apply. The Bucks are not the defending champs. Succop's play did not plunge, but it dropped. He missed 5 field goals, and he missed 5 extra points, whether they were blocked or whatever. They failed. And he doesn't even try to make a kick beyond the 50. Those are the facts. This kid won the Lou Groza Award at UM 2 years ago. Why he wasn't drafted, nobody knows. Everybody thought he would be drafted. Nobody took him.
There's the one-liner there that I dare not say.
So, Lee, the X factor is Jason Light sitting in that executive suite saying, Jesus, after all the kickers, and of course I wrote about it, Lee, you read the actual names, the Rogues Gallery, the Brinzes, the Catan Zeros.
I know, I saw them all.
Lee, you know all of them. You know all of them. Lindell, I mean, Aguayo, they're all in there. And, Lee, you got Jason Light saying, do I really want to do this again with a guy who hasn't made a field goal in the National Football League and push Succop aside? Succop knows he needs a good training camp. I will say it's his job to lose. I've said that about Stinney. Now I'm not so sure about Stinney. That might be a little more open than I thought right from the start. But I think if Succop has a good training camp, they will stick with him, even though sometimes the fact that you can't rely on him for a 53-yarder, at least sometimes that hurts you. It hurts on occasion. You're at the 35 of the Panthers, and instead of bringing in Succop, you know, it's 4th and 3, and you got to go for it because you don't want to punt, where another team, you know, would have a lot of confidence in the kicker kicking a 52-yarder. So Succop knows he's in for the fight of his life, but he's a tough kid, Lee. He was left for dead in Tennessee, and he resurrected his career here in Tampa. And Lee, he's been very good in the postseason, and that could be a factor. He's been very good for the Bucs in the last 2 postseasons.
Well, Succop supposedly struggling. How did that hurt the Bucs last year? I don't think it hurt them at all. I mean, they've won 29 games the last 2 years.
They did.
I remember vividly the horrid chorus line of kickers this team has had since probably Raheem was around. Maybe Shiano. There, I mean, it's just god awful. You finally got a guy. You're winning games with the guy. I don't care if he can't kick a 55-yarder. You got the greatest quarterback of all time. He led the league in passing last year. So what if the guy cannot kick a 55-yard field goal? It's 4th-and-3. You put the ball in the best quarterback of all time's hands. This guy is better than any, light years better than any Bucs kicker they've had maybe in a decade. Don't fix something that's not broken.
Steve, Lee makes a great point about this whole topic in this sense, Steve. The Bucs score touchdowns, Steve. The Bucs score touchdowns. And, you know, it's not like they're dragging suck up out there 4 times a game. That's not the case. Other teams kick a lot of field goals. The Bucs don't. They don't attempt a lot. And so it really hasn't shown up. Steve, they're almost the top scoring team in the league last year. They scored touchdowns. So maybe this is not as much of a problem with the lack of range as it would be on another team, Steve.
Well, excuse me. I'd have to look that up, Ira. I'm not really sure if the Bucs don't kick a lot of field goals. My guess is that they're above average when it comes to that, you know, just because of all the points that they score. So I'm not really sure about that, but you know, it's a decision they have to make. I mean, I would want the Bucs to just judge by what you got in practice. You know, I mean, they know they've seen suck up for 2 years. So they're the ones who are going to know if he's tailing off. I mean, they got to trust their eyes. If they're watching him in practice and he consistently looks worse, well, I would hope they would get rid of him. I mean, he was, you know, he's 35. He's had injuries before. He wasn't as good last year. If they watch him stink, I mean, they got to let him go. But we're not going to see a lot of that.
He's making some money now.
Yeah, but it can't be about the money. If you believe he's reliable and he's not tailing off, you got to stick with him because, like Lee said, you're not going to – saving $4 million is not worth a crappy kicker or a wild card. But if you think he's really fading out, I mean, you got to make that call. But nobody knows what this rookie can do either, so they'll probably give him a ton of chances in the preseason games and you know, make a decision. But in this case, I agree with you, Ira. This is Suckup's job to lose. The guard situation is a different story.
Ira, there was a stat, and I can't remember it, so I'm just going to guesstimate what it was. It was about a punter. I don't know, we're not talking about a punter, but Warren Sharp dug this up, and he's basically saying the punter, the Bucs drafted. And by the way, you're asking about Sean Sullivan. He's got acid reflux over the punter, so that's how he's doing right now. The punter the Bucs drafted, they don't need him to boom punts. They just need him to place them properly because the Bucs, I can't remember the stats specifically. The Bucs, I think, were second in the league at getting the ball into enemy territory. That they had X amount of percentage of drives into enemy territory, which is like the second best in the league. So
that's right.
So your point about touchdowns and about you really don't need suck up to be kicking 55 yarders because the Bucs are getting the ball into opponents' territory so often.
Right, right. The guy's name's Kamada, the punter.
Lee. Okay. Kamada.
All right, Sage, we're out of here. Suck up was tied for 19th. In total attempts last year for field goals. So middle of the pack.
Okay.
We're going to clear out. We're going to be back next week, big and strong. So Lee and I are stepping away. We wish you well on your journey, but we got to hear your last 30-second farewell address to Bucs fans.
Cynthia Freeland says 12. Some clown says 9. I'm saying 11. Boy, we're a long way from 2013 and 2014 when nine wins would have prompted a march down Dale Mabry Boulevard. We're a long way away.
A march is celebration.
Celebration, absolutely. Not pitchforks, celebration.
When the boat parade would have consisted of drowning your gear in the Hillsborough Bay.